was it like for you just to sit and rest in his presence? I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life it can be hard just to sit still and not do anything. Just always have to have something going on or something that I'm reading or doing or just, you know, some kind of mental stimulation that has to happen. And just to actually stop and listen isn't the easiest thing because it's not what I naturally want to do, right? Naturally, I want to just go out and do something. So just to just sit and listen for God in a moment of silence is not necessarily my natural posture. But I hope that in the moments just that we've had and in the ones to come as we look a little deeper at this psalm, that as you rest in him, you will just feel his presence resting on you and just feel his peace washing over you this morning. Because we're going to be talking through what is in some ways a difficult psalm and that it really touches at the core of our being. It goes into some pretty deep places in our life. And it's a nice light way to start off the summer, isn't it? And so I realize we're treading into some pretty personal territory this morning. But I really hope that as we do that, you will really sense the voice of the Spirit speaking into those deep places and bringing some hope and some renewal and some refreshing into your life. As we begin today, this is really kind of setting us up a little bit for the summer in that calling the series for the summer Songs of Summer, which will be sometimes in the Psalms, sometimes not. Some other people will be speaking as well this summer through the month of July. But I really hope that this sets us up for a good tone of how we're approaching coming together in God's Word over the course of the next few months, really in a position and a posture of just wanting to hear and receive from God. And that's kind of why we're starting where we are today. We're starting in a psalm of longing. And so what I want to begin today is just by asking a question. What is it that you long for? What do you crave? What is in your soul that you're reaching out for and hoping for in your life? Is it a change in a work situation, something that's just been driving you crazy and you're just really longing for something different because the frustration is just mounting day after day after day? Are you longing for reconciliation between you and another person because there's just some tension in that relationship that's just, it's weighing down on you and you've had enough and you're just longing to see that finally resolve and feel some peace? What is it that you're longing for? You know, today, as we look at this psalm, it seems to me that there's a few different movements through the psalm that really look at, you know, what it was the psalmist was longing for, but also the effect that that longing had on his mind, on his heart, on really where he was at. But it also talks about how we can find hope in the midst of our longing and maybe in the midst of even the places we can go because we've been longing for a long time. So we're going to kind of follow it through as the psalm really kind of breaks out into three stanzas. It has verses 1 and 2 kind of as a little package, verse 3 and 4 together, and verses 5 and 6. And so we'll take a look at each one of those just to see what it says to us about the longing that the psalmist was reflecting on as well as maybe the longing that we have today. And the first part, as we look at verses 1 and 2, and this sort of expression of longing that the psalmist gives, I think one of the things we can feel comfort about is the fact that longing really is a human experience. It's a truly human experience. It's something that we all feel at some point in our life. Some authors have talked about the fact that longing is actually something, some longings are placed in us in order to help us find our way back to God and find our way into relationship with him, to seek him out. Both N.T. Wright and Irwin McManus in the last few years have written on this, talking about some of the different longings that God places in us. Wright talked about how we have longings sort of as a common human experience. We have longings for justice, longings for spirituality, longing for relationship, and a longing for beauty as a part of our life. Irwin McManus, the way he phrased it was that we crave intimacy to be known and loved by someone. We crave destiny to actually have purpose in our life. And we crave meaning. And so there are certain longings that seem to be pretty much common across the board within us as humans. It's something that's just part of our human experience, that we will have longings for things. But what happens when we have a longing to see God act in our life, and we've been calling out to him, but he doesn't seem to be listening? What happens when we don't see God acting in a way that we think he should in our lives? Maybe when we've been doing all the right things and he's not showing up. What do we do when we're longing to see the injustice and pain in our lives and in our world be dealt with, and we're longing for God to intervene and he just doesn't seem to be present? Well, in these first couple verses of Psalm 13, what I think we see is an incredibly deep kind of gut-level cry from the psalmist out to God. And I love that he doesn't sugarcoat it, you know? There's no kind of nice religious platitudes, you know, starting off with a nice pious prayer, you know, our Father, you know, you're so wonderful, but, you know, there's none of that. Verse 1, how long? How long, God? You gonna stay away from me forever? Like, how long is this going to go on? It's just raw. It's just right from the core of his being. There's nothing kind of, you know, it's not dressed up all nice. It's just right from the core. And he expresses this gut-level cry to God, a longing that's coming from deep down inside. But notice what the longing is for and is not for. When he's asking the question, how long, O Lord? I don't think he's asking for information. You know, like looking for an answer, like God's going to say, you know what? I'll tell you what, 2 years, 3 months, 6 weeks, and 4 days. Like, that's not the answer he's looking for. It's like, how long, O Lord? When are you going to show up? Like, would you please show up right now? Right? That's what he's asking for. He's not asking for information. He's asking for presence. He wants the presence and activity of God to be right there. He wants to experience and feel the presence of God again in his life. He wants the absence of God to be gone and for God to be near again. How long will you forget me forever? Not looking for an answer in words, but looking for an answer in the arrival of God on the scene. It's not enough for him to know, you know, where God is, what he's off doing, and when he's going to show up again. He actually wants to see God here and now and acting in his life. This longing is connected very much to relationship and wanting to see and feel the relationship that he has with God again, to see God active in his life. And because he hasn't been feeling the presence of God, because he hasn't been experiencing the activity of God in his life, he doesn't sense that that's going on. We read in the psalm that he's been wrestling with his thoughts and having sorrow in his heart. It's leading him to a pretty dark place. Now, we may desire for God to be present and obviously active in our lives as well. But what happens when he isn't? What happens to us when it feels like we go on day after day waiting? Praying the same prayer, seeing the same inactivity. What happens to us when we go on through long periods of waiting for God? What happens when our longing isn't met and we don't see God show up? One of the things I love about this psalm is it really is an honest expression of that kind of circumstance. You know, there's a lot of people who would love to say, you know, when you come to faith in Jesus, everything gets set right. Or if you just call out to God, he answers like that. Really? So I talked to a number of people who've been Christians for a long time. It's not always the case. There can be periods in our life that are long stretches of waiting. Waiting without seeing or experiencing or feeling the presence of God. Now, for the psalmist, you can see the place where this is leading him. And it's not a nice, easy place. In verses 3 and 4, as we move to the second stanza, away from this, just this cry out to God for help, now we get into this place where we see where this is going to take him if this continues on too long. He's saying, if this keeps going, if this weight continues, and I continue to just have to wrestle with my thoughts and deal with the sorrow in my heart, ultimately it's going to overcome me. It's going to become too much. It's going to break me at some point. I can't take this forever. The weight is just becoming too much for me to handle. In other words, the psalmist is seeing that if God doesn't show up and act soon, it's going to be like a crashing wave just overwhelming him and smashing him to pieces. He's going to be done. And so what I want to ask this morning, and this is just can be in the quietness of your mind and heart right now, as we were just listening for God's voice a little earlier when we read this psalm together, could you identify with the feeling of despair that the psalmist had? That feeling of abandonment, that feeling of kind of just feeling like you're, in a sense, slipping away. And if not right now, have you felt that before? Now, as you reflect back maybe onto a time when you've been in that place, how easy was it to see a way out? Could you see the end? Could you see the goal where you'd finally move out of this place of darkness and into a place of feeling good again and feeling light and feeling the presence of God? Could you see that when you're in the midst of this questioning, this longing, this craving for God to show up, but you don't feel him showing up? Is it easy to see where you're going to come out of this? One person said that you get to a point sometimes where it feels like you don't even want to trust the light at the end of the tunnel, because it's probably just going to be an ape with a flashlight and a big mallet waiting to hit you again. It's not always easy to see when we're in that place of longing, when we're in that place of feeling like we're slipping away and we don't feel God's presence. It's not always easy to see how it's going to end up positive. It feels like we're going over these hills. We're kind of climbing a hill and we're looking for, you know, okay, there's the end. And at the top of the hill, all you see is another hill. And then you get to get down the valley and you climb up another hill. And then you get to the top of that hill and all you see is another hill. There's those times that we feel that way, when we just can't see the end of what we're walking through. And, you know, I don't know if this provides you with much hope, but maybe you can provide a bit of comfort to know that not only do we walk through this, but the one who we've trusted in for our salvation has also walked through this. And it's an incredible thing to see that when Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out with the same kind of gut level prayer, in a sense, to God. That's also from one of the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? Comes from Psalm 22. And Jesus, in that moment of hanging on the cross, felt that abandonment from his Father. He felt the lack of the presence of God with him. He felt the horror of that moment. And so when we're walking in those moments, we can know that the one who has called out to us, who died for us to call us into a new life, has experienced it as well. And he can give us help in that moment. So to me, that's a good thing. But there's also good reason for hope, as we see in this psalm. We see what the psalmist writes as we continue on into the third part of the psalm. And as we track this, you can kind of see this gut-level cry out to God. You know, how long, O Lord? Is this going to go on forever? When are you going to show up? This is what's going to happen to me if this keeps going. I'm going to go into the pit of despair and I'm done, right? This is kind of where he's going. And then it's almost like he pulls a 180. And in some ways, when you read the words, but still I trust in your unfailing love, does that feel dishonest to you? I don't know, just when you're reading the psalm, when you're reading the depth of this guy's despair, for him to suddenly do an about face and go, you know what? I don't know when you're going to show up, but it's not soon enough. Please be here soon. If not, I'm dying. But I trust in your unfailing love. How do you do that? Like, how do you just go, whoosh? You know? I don't know. Now, here's what I think is happening here, though. And I think the reason he's finding hope is not because of what he's seen in his circumstance, but it's hope in who he knows God to be. A couple weeks ago, we talked about this when we were looking at John's encounter with Jesus on the island of Patmos and at the beginning of Revelation. And Jesus shows up to John, and we talked about how we can find hope in who God is, because God is the one who is and who was and who is to come, right? So he's the one who has always been, and he is also the Almighty. So he's all-powerful over all things. And so we can have hope because the God we trust in has always been and will always be through eternity, plus he's all-powerful. So that's a pretty good thing. So we know he has power over all things in all time, so we can have reason to hope that things will work out in the end. Now, the psalmist also has hope because of who God is, but he takes a little bit of a different angle on this. And it's an important one that we catch today as well. Because his reason for hope in the person of God is because of God's faithfulness. Because of God's faithfulness to the covenant that he made with his people. That's the big reason for hope in who God is. God is faithful to his covenant that he's made with his people. And as you read through the Old Testament, you know that the covenant, this idea of the promise of God to his people and the promise of the people to God, is a big deal. That's the reason why the whole law came down, is how to fulfill the covenant, right? All these things kind of play into the covenant. When you see Israel punished, it's because they weren't following the covenant, right? The rules of covenant. And God bringing them back, fulfilling the promises of the covenant. It's all about the covenant, this interplay of the covenant. And the psalmist is expressing confidence in who God is because God is always faithful to his covenant promises he's made. And really, that's what, you know, when you read the words unfailing love, it's not talking so much about an emotional love, right? Unfailing love where, you know, it'll always be that God has this little flutter in his heart for us. Like, you know, that's not what it's talking about. Talking more about an unfailing loyalty. An unfailing or enduring allegiance in the context of covenant. He's faithfully fulfilling his covenant promises, not because he's forced to, but because of a relational commitment to his people. He will always fulfill his promises. He will always be faithful to his covenant. Now I just wanted to share with you a quote from one of the commentaries I was looking at this week, reading about this psalm. And how they talk about this faithfulness of Yahweh, God, to Israel in the context of covenant. And this is what he had to say. In the case of Yahweh and Israel, Yahweh has freely chosen to enter into a covenant relationship with Israel, to be her God while she is his people. Yahweh chooses this relationship not because of Israel's greatness, but simply because he loves Israel and desires to fulfill faithfully the promises he made to the patriarchs. Even when Israel fails in her commitment. Though he may punish Israel for her sins, he remains true to his purpose for her. That is why Israel can continue to hope for restoration in the face of the loss and destruction of the exile, and also why the psalmist can continue to hope for personal restoration even as death is at the door. Even when we mess up, God is faithful. Amy was talking about with the kids earlier. Even when we blow it in the context of the covenant, God is faithful to fulfill his side of the covenant. Always. He never fails. He will fulfill his promises. So even when we're in a dark place, we can know because who God is, he will faithfully fulfill what he said he'd do. He will show up. It may not come early enough for us in our mind. It may not come on our timing. It may not come at drive-through speed like Tim Hortons can pull off. But God will faithfully fulfill his promises to us. He will stay faithful to the covenant he has made with his people. So the hope that's expressed in this psalm, as he gets to this place of saying, still I trust in your unfailing love. I'm holding on to the fact that God will faithfully fulfill his covenant. I'm holding on to that. that God is faithful. He has shown himself to be faithful, and he's going to be faithful in the time to come. And that hope ultimately leads the psalmist to being able to sing songs of joy, even in the midst of this longing and despair. Now, just as a little tag for this, when you read songs of lament, like this one is, psalms, all through the psalms, there's different types of psalms. There's psalms of ascent, psalms where they were going up to the temple, and so there'd be songs of praise, right? Songs where you're preparing to go and worship the Lord at the temple. There's all sorts of different psalms. Well, one of the psalm types is a psalms of lament, psalms where you just, this gut-level cry out to God of things that are difficult, which is why the psalms can be a great place to go when we're going through hard times, because we can find things that really make sense. You know what I mean? Like in a place of darkness, you can read this and go, yeah, I'm with you, right? But when you read the Psalms of Lament, one of the things you find very common among them is a statement of confident praise in God. It's always there. Even in the midst of the darkness and despair, in the midst of longing for God to show up, consistently we see this confident praise expressed by the psalmist. And you kind of wonder, you know, in that place of feeling lost, chances are they're not really feeling so great about who God is. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're feeling kind of crummy, you're not necessarily going, yeah, yeah, you know, I totally feel like God's near, right? That's more reserved for those mountaintop experiences when you kind of go away and maybe if you're, you know, a nature person, like you're off in the midst of a walk in the middle of nowhere, and you can go, man, I just feel the presence of God with me. Or maybe if you're, you know, a musician and you just love being caught up with an incredible symphony or some kind of worship music around you, and just you're caught up in that moment where you feel the closeness of God. Or if you're someone who loves to serve and you're just down in those places and you're interacting with people and just sharing something with them, and you just feel the presence of God with you. Those kind of moments, it's really easy to call out and go, praise the Lord, right? Because you feel him there. But in these moments, when we're longing for God to show up and we're not seeing him show up, it's not necessarily that we really are feeling like saying, yay, God, for your unfailing love. But when we're not feeling it, maybe that's when it's more important to be able to state and talk about and retell the stories of God's unfailing love. You know, what comes first, chicken or the egg? Does our confident trust in God come first, or does our retelling what God has done to show himself to be faithful come first? Which one comes first? Sometimes it might be one, sometimes it's the other, right? Depending where we're at. It's like singing the songs that we do on a weekend. When we come together and sing songs of praise to God, do you always feel like singing those songs? Do you always actually feel like the words are actually true? There are times, I think, when we come in and it's just like, that's not where I'm at all. But it can be really important either to hear or to be able to sing those words to remind us of what's true, of who God is. To bring us back to be able to remember that he is faithful. When you look at the story of Israel through the Old Testament, and you see some of the psalms that are written, it's so often that we see them going back to the stories of what God has done for them as a people. And of course, the most common story they go back to is the story of the Exodus, when God took his people who were in slavery and led them into freedom. And you see that story retold again and again and again. It's in the New Testament as well. You see it over and over and over and over again, because they needed to retell the story of God's faithfulness. So as a people, they would always remember, right? So we could continue to have confidence in who God is. We can continue to know that God has shown himself to be faithful. He will continue to be faithful. He will do what he has said he will do. Retelling the story again and again and again. Because here's the thing, and I'll speak for myself, I won't speak for you. I'm stupid and I have a bad memory. It's true. If I was to think back, and you could try this too if you want, think back 10 years ago today, what did God do for you on that day? I got nothing. Yeah, and it was even July 1st. You think, you know, July 1st is like a marker kind of day? You might be able to remember something, right? Good luck. I can't even remember the things that God did for me 2 weeks ago. I can't even remember sometimes when I'm in a dark moment the good things that God did for me 2 days ago, right? It can be hard for us to remember, which is why it's important to find ways in our life to build in things where we can retell the stories of what God has done. It can be important to, in a sense, build into our lives a kind of liturgy, a kind of, you know, ongoing set way that we remember what God has done. We can do that through reading his word. We can do it through prayer. We can do it through encouraging each other. It's one of the reasons, actually, that we love doing our community weekends where we can share stories of what God has done. It's one of the reasons we do our God sightings wall. So that if we're feeling like, I just don't see God doing anything, there's a place to go. And you get to hear from the body of Christ, this is what God is doing for me. And it may not be that he's doing it for you right now, but we see that God is faithful. We see his faithfulness in other people's lives. We see it through his word, what he's done with his people all along. And it might help us to remember what he has done for us. It's one of the reasons I really actually love my journal. I'm not always consistent with it, but I love my journal because I can actually go back and read what it was that God was saying to me a while back. You think I'm going to remember everything that he said to me? Like I said, I'm stupid and I have a bad memory. It doesn't happen for me. But when I write it down, I have a way of going back and saying, this is what God has done in me and for me. It's a way to remember. And I think that's a really important piece that the psalmist picks up here for us, is even in the midst of darkness and despair and longing and wondering where God is and when he's going to show up, it is so important to go back and be able to remember and retell and restate what God has done. To see God's faithfulness, to see that he is faithful to his promises, that he is faithful to his people, that he is faithful to his covenant. So he will be faithful to you. God is not going to leave you nor forsake you. God hasn't given up on you, even when we mess up. Even when we break our promises to him, he does not break his covenant promises to us. He will continue on with us, even if we don't feel his presence right now. And so what I'm hoping that this summer will provide, as we begin this talk about longing and what do we long for, and maybe in the place you're at right now, you're longing for a little more of God's presence in your life. You just want him more visibly active in what's happening in your life. I hope that as we enter into this time of summer, summer is a time when we kind of let some of our schedules go away, and we have a little more time that's a little more flexible, maybe. Depends on your work. I know some guys are way busier in the summer, but for, you know, school schedules gone, kids' activity schedules reduced, all those kinds of things seem to shift in the summer. I hope that as we come together, this can be a place where we can just listen for the voice of God and find him speaking to us and just retelling us again and again of his love for us. That he will not leave us or forsake us, that he wants to continue on with us, that he will continue to move us forward with him throughout our life, and that we will find comfort and hope in that. What I wanted to do to kind of close off this time this morning is do another little read piece together, which is just a congregational prayer that I wanted to do with you. And so I'm going to ask you to stand up, and we're going to lead from this right into our closing song and into the benediction. But why don't you stand with me? And there's going to be a bold prayer on the screen that we're going to read together. And then I'm going to give a blessing now. We'll do another one at the end, but we'll bless you now as well from some words too. So let's read this prayer together, and may it be our prayer to God today. You show up, Jesus, in the most unlikely places. Give us patience to wait and watch when we cannot sense your presence, so that we may be ready to greet you where we are. Amen. And may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you. Wherever he may send you, may he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.